But we've got a chance now to speak to, as we said, one of the all-time greats of rugby league, a premiership winner across two clubs, an outstanding record in grand finals, lost famously in 69. We can ask him about that one. But one of the true legends of rugby league, he joins us on the line now, Ron Coote. G'day, Ron.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good morning, Ron.
Yeah, we're very well. We appreciate your time on a Sunday morning. I want to know, how does a young, tall, skinny bloke start playing rugby league at Kensington United?
Yeah, that's right. All them years ago, I lived up the hill from Kensho Oval, so that's how I got to play with Kensho when I was 13. I played F grade, then I went on to play B grade and A grade for them when I was a kid. You know, I was only 16 or 17, and then I went to South. I played South in the I played President's Cup in 63. And then I went on to play in the second grade grand final against St George in the at the cricket ground in the mud.
Still as a teenager, Ron. Yeah, so.
And still, yeah.
Well, Ron, your father Jack, of course, played for Eastern Suburbs in the 30s. Was rugby league always your destiny? Did your father sort of help push you into rugby league? If I can use that expression, Ron.
Oh, I'm sure it did. He was. I used to hear the war stories across the dinner table at the night time, and he'd tell me about all the things that used to happen. He played in, I think he played in 35, 36 and 37 in the first grade side.
Yeah.
First grade side of the Roosters. So he was a front rower and all that. And I used to hear what he talked about, all these stories. So that sort of certainly had a lot to do with me into rugby league, in it.
That was the famous premiership winning Dave Brown
team.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of talk from Roosters supporters about the fact that I think Kensington United were originally a Roosters club that were annexed by the South Sydney Rabbitohs back in, might have been the 50s or the late 40s, and so really you could have been a Roosters players all along, Ron.
I could have been. Yeah, that's right. I mean, they changed it had to be residentially qualified. That's what it was called.
Yeah,
and I just lived the high street there was where the border was. If you high street was one side, and then it used to be the Roosters. Then they moved it over, so it was just all that sort of stuff. And yeah, look, it was. I didn't care who I played with in them days. I would have played anyone. It was just I just enjoyed the game so much, you know. And Kensho United was a really great club in them days, and had a lot of good players and a lot of coaching and all that there. And was part of the great South Sydney Juniors. I still sort of am thankful to. And when I was 17 or 16. I was in the Jersey Fleet team, and we went to they took us to New Zealand. The Jersey Fleet team went to New Zealand. We played three games over in Christchurch, and then we went to Mount Cook and all that sort of stuff. And Bobby McCarthy was in the team with us, and we both thought our great rugby league. Your family hadn't been out of Kingsford, sort of thing. I'm on a plane going to New Zealand. So rugby league was always going to be. I was going to always play rugby league, and I love the game. I love the training aspect of it, and I love the toughness of it. And I used to like the bruises, sort of thing. Feeling the bruises, same as you, Jimmy.
Oh, I didn't like them too much, Ron.
Hey, Ron, really interesting. You joined South in 64. As you mentioned, when you were great, you were still a teenager. But that was an era of South where they were starting to build. Some young players like yourself were coming through. The great St George sides were still dominating. But was there a sense in 64, 65, 66 that something was building at South Sydney?
Oh, yeah, I think for sure. The 64, we made the playoffs, and then 65 we played in the grand final.
78,000, Ron.
78,000.
78,000. That that day there were people sitting on the roof of the Sheridan stand and all that. Mm. You know, people climbed up there. They risked their lives. Like if anyone fell, they would have been killed.
Mm.
But that was it. They pushed the gates down at the entrance to the stand, to the ground and everything. So they called it a 78,000, but I think there was many more than that in there. But St George beat us. I think it was 12-8, and that was a really tight game. But I really think they were the better team, obviously, on the day, and that sort of educated us a bit to what the, and we had a great side. We had the O'Neills, and we had unfortunately that time we had a bloke playing who was called Richie Powell, who was a great front rower.
Yeah.
And he used to offload the ball I could run on the ball. I'd just chase him and run on the ball for him, and he'd put you into holes. And we scored that many tries through Richie Powell's great skill that he had. And then when he didn't play in the grand final, it was a real problem for us. You know, we missed that ability that he had and the ball distributing, that sort of thing, you know.
So
St George beat us, but we never had him. We had all young blokes. There was Jimmy Morgan and John O'Neill, and Freddie Anderson was the hooker, and Bobby McCarthy and Gary Stevens and John O'Neill and myself were locked, and we had a good squad. Ivan Jones was the halfback. And we went right through, and they played good. We had a good year, and we thought we'd do better the next year, but we had a few injuries, and we didn't go that good.
Yeah.
And then the next year we won it, of course.
67, yeah.
67 you won, 68 you won, 70 you won, 71 you had a win as well. What happened in 69? What is it true
Long
that
story,
you were,
Jim.
You were overly confident? Is that's the street corner tip?
Yeah, that was pretty close. I remember Big Lurch saying, Big John O'Neill saying, we were sitting in the dressing room waiting to go on there in the front of the cricket ground there, in those little verandas they got on outside the dressing room.
And
the cup was on display out on the ground. The JJ Gilman Shirley. Lurch said, we shouldn't have to play this game. We should go down the collie and have a drink without having to play this game. So that's basically, I suppose, how we were. They played pretty good, Balmain. You can't take anything away from us. Because they changed the rules after that game, because what they done was they sat down all the time. Mm. Every time they just give themselves a break, a rest. And that's sort of we used to play for, tie a routine out and get on top of them that way, but when you couldn't win, they were resting there. So
yeah.
Anyway, there wasn't much in the game, and that's the way it happened. You can't take anything away from them. They beat us fair and square on the day.
Fair enough, Ron. But four premierships in 5 years, a great South Sydney era, and then came the switch to Eastern Suburbs in 1972. Can you give us the background behind the decision to move, Ron?
Yeah, South, I was off the contract that year. I had a 5 year contract with South, and that finished that year. And then when we were negotiating, it sort of didn't work out. South were struggling a bit. The Lees Club wasn't going all that good.
Yeah.
So they weren't offering that much money. The Roosters offered a lot more money for me. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about yourself and your family. I was married and that, with two kids. And I thought about how I can do this. And so they give me a bit more money, and a considerable amount more money. And then I sort of changed over. Mm-hmm. The other thing that happened, I used to have bloody... Don Ferner used to come into my house all the time. He'd be coming and knocking on the door, and he was the coach of the Roosters, and he right or wrong, he wanted me to go to the Roosters, and at the same time, I'm in Bobby Moses and John O'Neill and Ray Brannigan all went to Manly.
To Manly, yeah.
Mm. So that sort of broke up the team that way, and it was a sad thing. I mean, I'd probably think it was pretty sad for that sort of thing to happen, but that's what happens, and everyone's got to do their best for themselves, That's why we're all done.
Represented Australia on 23 occasions. You were actually captain during the 1970 World Cup. What did that mean? What I mean, playing for your country is one thing. To captain the side, Ron.
Oh, it was a great honour to captain Australia in that 70 World Cup. We played England in Australia that year, and they beat us. And they beat us, and then so we were going to England, and we played all the other countries, and we got into the final on points for and against. So we were lucky to get into the final to play against England, and then we beat them in the final with a terrific effort by all of our players, all the great players who played that day, and I certainly give them a rap for the great effort they put in to win the game.
Yeah, that Australian team, Ronji, there was some household names there. Eric Sims at fullback, Johnny Coutts, Paul Sait was in the centres, Mark Harris, Lionel Williams on the wing. Your halves combination, Bobby Fulton, Billy Smith weren't too bad. And then
and
a great forward pack, John O'Neill and Bob O'Reilly at the props, Ron Turner hooker, Bob McCarthy, Ron Costello second rows, and yourself as lock and captain. It's a fair team, Ron.
Yeah, it was a good team. Yeah, certainly, and they were great blokes. And it was a great, good, great memory for me. The captain of the World Cup in 1970. Fantastic.
The influence Jack Gibson had on your career. Don Ferner might have got you to the Roosters. Jack Gibson helped the Roosters win two premierships, 74, 75. Everyone has got at least one Jack Gibson story. Have you got a story to give an insight into the great man?
Well, yeah, when I was there a year before. But you got to give Don Ferner a pretty big rap, because he got Arthur Beetz in there, he got himself, and he put the team together. And then Jack come in. Don went back to Canberra, went back to Wagga, where did he go? I think he did. Anyway, he went back to where he come from, and then. And Jack took over, but Jack was a great coach. I mean, Jack was a master coach, I suppose, and he had plenty to do. He came to the club and said, "Righto, we've all got to go to." And there was a Nautilus gymnasium set up in Bondi Junction as when Jack got there. And Jack had been to speak with a fella called Dick Nolan in America, who was the coach of the 49ers. And he told him, he influenced him about this Nautilus machine and what good the weight training machines, and how you got to train, weight train. So that year, 74, Jack insisted we had to do two sessions a week on the Nautilus machines. And it wasn't until the end of the year that the guys realised that the opposition or all the other teams realised what we were doing. We were much stronger, and they won the premierships.
Ron, probably an unfair question, but can you compare those great South Sydney sides that you won four premierships in with those two Roosters teams, and in particular 1975 side, which I think lost only three games all season?
Yeah, it did. We won the grand final 38-0, I think.
Yep.
Look, they were. It was pretty hard to compare them, I get hate mail when I say these sort of things.
Fair enough. Probably better sit on the fence, Ron. Too great. What about the coaches? You had Clive Churchill. You had a good fortune at club football to be coached by two of the greats. You mentioned Jack Gibson, and he was obviously a groundbreaker. But Clive Churchill, four premierships in your time at South Sydney. What was he like, Ron?
Well, Clive was a good coach. Clive, he was a real man who developed the players. You know, he he'd get them all going. He'd be in the dressing room cracking jokes and all that sort of stuff. It was a fun time to play with South in them days, and they were all. It wasn't. There was no pressure on anyone. It was, you know, I suppose there was pressure when we got to the finals, but you know, before that, you know, Clive was one of those sort of blokes. He'd be cracking jokes and doing that sort of stuff. He also was a good tactician, and you know, talked about the tactics of the game and how you could do this and do that, and trained us pretty hard, you know.
Ron, you're a walking history of the game. It's just incredible. We've got to say goodbye at this point, but I'm sure our listeners are already sending in SMS and appreciating what you've said this morning. It has been fantastic.
Got to ask him for a tip next
week. Oh, yeah. Go on. We'll put you on the spot. If you think you got in trouble previously, we'll get you in more trouble now. Who's going to win, Roosters or Rabbitohs?
Well, what I generally say here when people ask me this, when this happens, I generally say, who will you go for? And if they say the Roosters, I say, well, I'm with you.
Good answer.
So I'm leaving you with that.
All right.
Well, you can't lose that one, Ron.
Forever the diplomat. Well done, Ron. Great to have you on the program, Ronnie. We do appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ron.
There he is. Talk about humble champions. Oh, there's another one. Ron Coote, outstanding. Six grand final victories in 9 grand finals.
So the players he played against and with, you know. What, as you said, he's like a walking encyclopedia of rugby league.
Just incredible. Great to have him on the program.